And welcome back to our Christmas Eve into Christmas Day program. And of course, we'll be live for you on Christmas night as well. And thank you for being part of the program with us, not only today, but all these years that we've been doing Coast to Coast that go way, way back. Well, for the next couple hours, I want you to call in with your miracle stories, things that might have happened to you in your life or stories that you have heard that truly were angelic or of some kind of miraculous type of situation. And we'll take your miracle calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Sky brings us some of the greatest space and astronomical information, doesn't he? Okay, we've got open lines, miracles tonight here on Coast to Coast. We'll go to the phones. We'll get things started by going east of the Rockies in Kansas City, Missouri. Jackie is with us. Hey, Jackie, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I tell you Merry Christmas for the staff of the ICU newborns.
Well, unit. Very good. Thank you so much.
And we have it all. We want to tell you Merry Christmas. And last year I called in. Of course, this is fictitious name I'm giving you because I can't tell you my real name. I get in trouble. You told everybody that nobody told me happy birthday, New Year's Eve. It's, then everybody started telling me happy birthday. That meant a great deal to me.
I remember that. That's right.
And we have so many different miracle stories. It's hard to pick out just one or two. And I just had called in earlier this evening for a prayer request for a little boy that's not going to make it.
Oh.
And he's slipping away from us now. They took his life support away 16 days ago.
How old is he, Jackie?
Huh?
How old is he?
How old is he?
Yeah.
4 months.
Oh, boy.
He's never been out of the hospital.
How sad.
And his mother's only 15.
Jeez.
It's a sad story.
Yeah.
But something I've been praying. I don't know how to pray for a miracle. I've never prayed for God to touch someone and heal them. So I've been doing that very, very religiously. We all have it up here. We call him Baby Bray.
Well, you know, stranger things have happened.
And listen, Merry Christmas to everybody, and I'll be talking to you again
All right,
New Year's.
You take care of yourself. By the way, Santa Claus is pretty close to Casper, Wyoming right now. He's all over the countryside these days. Let's go to Lee in Martinsburg, West Virginia, on the wild card line. Hey, Lee, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Merry Christmas.
You too, Lee. Thank you.
It was funny. I tried calling in on the angel line earlier, and I had my cell phone. Didn't get too good a connection, so I had to call back, and it's funny. I got through on the Christmas part. And the story of God's real simple. As a kid, I had a very violent, abusive growing up. It was pretty rough. And every year around Thanksgiving, my mother would start this cycle of, it's going to be a blank poor Christmas, so don't expect anything. And it was bad. I mean, we were very poor. And the one year, she came home Christmas Eve. She had gotten off work, gotten paid. We went out to get a tree. And it was my two sisters, myself, and her. And she would calm down over the holidays. You know, she wouldn't be as violent or anything else. And we were walking home. We had one of those, the only tree we could find was one of those little silver spray-painted jobs.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those. Or remember the old aluminum trees?
Yeah. These were the natural ones that they sprayed, and they had the little red base. They were 3 foot. They were, you know, that was it. But we were walking home, and it started snowing. And the way the wind was blowing, it was blowing like a path for us to walk through. And I did an out-of-body. And I couldn't have been no more than 9. And I was behind looking at my mother and my two sisters and myself in this tree. And it just hit me, this is what Christmas is supposed to be about.
I love that. And you remember that for the rest of your life?
Yeah, it always hits a good spot.
All right, love that. Thank you, Lee. Appreciate it. You have yourself a good Christmas. Aluminum trees. We used to have one back in Dearborn, Michigan, Dearborn Heights. They were the ugliest trees I think I've ever seen. Now, as a kid, you don't think that. But when I think back now, I'm not even sure. Somebody send me a message or call in. Do they even make aluminum trees anymore? I don't think so. I don't think anybody wants them anymore. In this era of these artificial trees that look almost real, I don't think anybody has aluminum trees anymore. But man, in the 50s and 60s, they were everywhere. Everywhere. Let's go to Sarah in Hohokus, New Jersey. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, good morning, and happy holidays to you.
You too, Sarah.
I have an interesting story regarding an angel. My mother has some very specific religious views that she, it's important to her that I share the same views she has regarding salvation.
Well, moms are right.
I've always told her, you know, I have similar views, but I'm you know, not ready to express it as strongly as you, but, you know, she still always looks for reassurance. So one night during my sleep, it was as though my mom tapped me on the shoulder and said, oh, hey, I brought a friend to help explain something to you. And then she made a joke. This is while I was sleeping, and my mom was very much alive, you know, still. You know, and she said, hey, you know, I have to see your mom has friends in high places, too. And who she brought, it was like an angel, kind of like a clearance type of angel from the audiovisual squad of heaven. And he was really, you know, cool. They kind of said, okay, well, sit back here. Let me put this together. Let me, you know, turn these knobs and go, all right, here you go. I'm going to show you something. And then it was like this scroll, like, took up my field of vision, and this information was going by really fast on this scroll. And they said, okay, just sit back and, you know, enjoy it, and you know, you'll understand it subconsciously, you know. So, you know, I told them, it's going a little fast. If you want me to get me to understand anything, you know, verbatim, you got to slow it down a little. So they slowed it down for a couple seconds, and then it sped back up. So I just kind of sat back and enjoyed it. And I'll tell you the message in a second, but then at the end of the scroll, I heard this word that I'd never heard before. And it was like my mom and this angel and a whole bunch of other people were waving, agape, agape, you know, like really vigorously and happy. And I had no idea, I'd never heard the word before, but I just knew it meant like big love, like the biggest hug you could give somebody. And then what the message was that Jesus built four wormholes, and they're physical objects, but he built them with his mind when he was here, and they exist as kind of an escape hatch for us. So it's kind of like a physical, metaphysical way of explaining something to me that my mom always took on faith.
Where do we find these
really
wormholes?
Cool.
How do we find them, sir?
How do we find? Oh, I guess it's kind of like you know, the Wizard of Oz, you just, you know, want it in your heart and, you know, click your heels a few times my mom says that you just, you know, ask Jesus for, you know, salvation and he brings you there. So, you know.
I will always remember one of my stories. My sister and I wanted, and I say this story every year, we wanted bicycles, and it was a snowy Christmas Eve in Detroit. Just wonderful. And we wanted bicycles. And like all kids, we always wake up really early on Christmas morning before the parents even wake up, even though the rule was we're supposed to wake them up and then everybody comes in together. But, you know, we would wake up like at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And I don't think the parents wanted to get woken up at that time. So we go running out there and we'd look at the tree and their presents, but no bicycles. And my sister Gail and I looked at each other. We were just so depressed. And, you know, we were ready to go back to bed. And we noticed outside in a blinding snowstorm, my mother and my father hand-pushing bicycles that they had hidden in our neighbor's garage across the street. Mike Kozar was his name. He's dead now. But that's where they kept the bikes. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, they're pushing them across the street, snow everywhere, to get it ready for us on Christmas morning. And I looked at Gail, and she looked at me. She got these big brown eyes. And we said, we better get to bed and hide. And it was just an exciting Christmas, knowing what we were getting. But our parents did that for us, pulled it off. A Christmas as a kid, I'll probably never, ever forget. At least I hope I don't. Next up, we go to Mike in San Antonio, Texas. Mike's a first-time caller. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good. Merry Christmas to you, Mike.
Happy holidays, y'all. Just kind of wanted to ask a question that kind of had been burned a little bit. Is different surroundings? I guess first off, let me start off by saying that my folks had moved out here to the country about an hour outside San Antonio, and what I've noticed is that every time that I'm out here, is that there always seems to be a lingering kind of feeling that somebody else or some more than one other entity or people, I guess, are here. Hmm. And out here in the country, there, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with Texas rural or Texas country.
Sure. Absolutely.
That all the streets are all numbers. They're all county road and ranch roads. But the street that my folks have their ranch on is a named street.
Okay.
And just that right off the bat, say, hey, you know, this is a pretty old street.
Right.
But since I've been out here, you know, a few years already, and I've seen it twice, is that it seems like it's kind of like a black bird that will... And it'll only come at night, and, you know, whether I'd be walking the dog or out in the barn painting, is that there, you know, I'll see it kind of like, I've only seen it twice. It's like a black, like I said, kind of like a black hummingbird or black mockingbird. And every time it leaves, there's this sense of, I guess, kind of like, I guess a real bad or horrible feeling that associated with it,
like some impending thing.
Yes. And I've done some research on the land, and the land is kind of sits a little adjacent to a old slave colony. And what I'm asking is, can things like that linger on the land even though buildings
Yes.
have been torn down and all that?
Michael, absolutely. There have been recorded cases of structures being built over graveyards or special land, hollowed ground, and very strange things have happened, extremely. So to answer that question, absolutely yes, that can happen. Next up, let's go to Mike, Livermore, California. Michael, Merry Christmas to you. How's your mom doing?
Oh, she's doing great. I was over there tonight. They were all enjoying her great-grandson.
And probably saying, Mike, when are you going to make another bet with Nori so we can get some more cash?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the Raiders are out of it. I don't know.
The Lions are out of it.
Let's wait till the two teams come down to it and we can do something then.
Well, yeah, maybe we'll wait for hockey or something like that.
Yeah, that's always a possibility. That's not one of my majors, but I am a Sharks fan.
Just for people who don't know, every once in a while, Mike calls in, we do a little bet on some sporting event, I lose, and I send him a check to his mother's charity.
Yes, she does the food bank, and she's been doing great work there as usual. I helped out a homeless man that I know.
Oh, that's
great. I befriended. So he had a nice Thanksgiving and a great Christmas coming up, I would imagine.
I'm losing you, Mike. Where are you?
Oh, I'm right here.
There you are. Okay.
So, Rosemary, great show tonight, George. I always enjoy Rosemary, and especially around Christmas time. And unfortunately, I didn't have any Christmas miracles to follow in this year.
Well, you'll get your miracles. They'll happen. They'll come. Believe me, they're everywhere. They really are. We're going to have more of your miracle stories when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. A fast night, Christmas Eve program into Christmas Day. And Christmas Day, we've got a special show for you. First hour, Raymond Moody will talk to us about the dead communicating with people during Christmas. And then we'll have Who's Behind the Secret Door for the next 3 hours tomorrow. I have no idea who the guests are, but we'll have some fun with that on Christmas Day night. I'll be back in a moment. More of your calls on Coast to Coast AM. You too, Josh, and thanks for everything you've done for us here on Coast to Coast AM, tracking Santa. He's now cruising over Alberta, Canada, going who knows where, but he's delivering and doing what he does. By the way, our privilege to bring you this program here, and I hope all of you on Christmas Day enjoy yourselves. Well, you know what? Whether you've got friends or family, maybe you're alone. If you're alone, just make sure you turn on the radio tomorrow night when we're back on. We're here for you. Let's go to the phones. We're going to our Skype line. We're going to Belfast, Northern Ireland, live. Richard is with us. Richard, Merry Christmas to you.
George, good morning, and Merry Christmas to all at that side of the pond. I just wanted to call, George, and say thank you for the entertainment you've provided over the past year. And for many years, I've been listening to Coast since, not since the days of Art Bell, but from the days of Hilly Rose, when I used to get it on an old shortwave single sideband.
Way gone back.
I just wanted to thank you. I've become a Coast Insider, and by the way, anyone, you know, if you're living on this side of the pond, it costs you £1 per week, and you can get this show, although I get up at 6 a.m. to listen to this show, and you can get it all the way to work for £1 a week. Fantastic.
That is great. I love it, Richard. I love it. So what do you do for Christmas? What are you doing?
Well, my wife's from Texas, George.
And, oh, she is.
She's
okay.
Here with me.
Great.
She'll be cooking the Christmas turkey. The ham will be on. And and obviously, being Irish, we have a few drinks along with that.
Good. Now, Richard, also tell me, Belfast, you're right in the middle of what used to be a war and strife area. How are things now?
George, things have improved. There's still a little bit of complex along with that. But in the main, things have vastly improved. Thankfully, the younger generation are coming up.
Yeah.
And they don't have the same sort of negativity towards religion and stuff. And I'm glad to see that. Most people in Belfast never wanted to go through that, George. So things are improving day by day. We've got a lot of tourists coming in. And in fact, I would like to say to everyone around the world, you know, even if you don't celebrate this Christian holiday, please enjoy it as a day of peace and enjoy it as a day of goodwill.
You got that right. Richard, thank you so much. And we put the Skype line in well over a year ago. And I remember we were getting calls from Tokyo during the tsunami that hit Fukushima. It's just a wonderful tool. And, you know, communications is wonderful. We stay on cutting edge. You know, during most open lines, we use your texts and messages, and also during the show. I mean, a lot of people will send a text question that we'll ask the guest. So, you know, we're just looking for cutting edge technology. And with that, of course, do follow us and on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and we've got Instagram for you now. So that's up and running. We put a little picture or two up there every once in a while, whether they're the events I go to or just about anything that some people even send in for us. All of that you'll find at our website, coasttocoastam.com, in the far right-hand corner. Let's go now to Anita in Colville, Washington, on the wildcard line. Hello, Anita. Merry Christmas. You getting ready for the morning?
Oh, yes, I'm all ready. But there really are miracles out there. I'm a miracle. I had a stroke. I spent a year in a coma, or 8 months in a coma, and I left the care center 3 months after that. I had to learn everything all over again, but I'm alive.
Let me ask you something. When you were in a coma, do you remember dreaming or anything like that?
No, there was nothing in my mind. The last thing I remember was the sound of the ambulance. That was it for 8 months.
When you wake up, do you have any concept of how long you were out?
No, but I have to say this. It's true. I saw my dead husband standing there with his arms out. He'd been dead for 20 years.
At what point did you see him?
When I was awake, when I finally realized I was awake and knew something was going on.
Okay, now, when you woke up, did you remember something that happened right before the coma? I mean, what exactly happened to you?
I was feeling bad, and I went to my neighbor's to borrow some Tylenol, and I'd never had headaches before, but it was so bad. I took the car, and we lived on the same block. I opened the car door, and I fell out and crawled into a snowbank, and I couldn't get out of it. And I laid in the snowbank for almost a half hour before someone found me.
And from that moment, you were in a coma for 8 months?
Yes.
What got you to wake up?
I was in a medicated coma because I'd had two brain surgeries in 2 days, and I had pneumonia from the snow. And the so-called care center I was at upped my medication and over-medicated me.
Oh,
and when I was moved to a new place called the Christian Healthcare Center, which speaks for how the attitude of the people are, they took me off the medication and reduced it, and it took a month and a half for me to wake up.
Oh, my God. Well, how do you feel now, Anita? You feel okay?
Fantastic. And there are miracles. I started looking for a miracle every day. I wrote a book of miracles, which one day I saw an eagle fly. Well, for me, that was a miracle. My sight was returning. I didn't know it for a while, but I couldn't taste. I couldn't smell. And that came back. But every day a miracle has happened in my life, even if it's just looking at a blade of grass growing.
I love
it. There are miracles out there.
Anita, right now, millions of people are listening to you around this planet. I want you to take just a very short moment and say something about how important it is to be on this planet doing what you're doing. Go ahead. You've got the platform.
God didn't want me dead or I would have died. Life is something that's handed to us. We don't ask for it, but it's a present. So enjoy every day you have and tell people around you. If they do something nice, I compliment people. They look at me like I'm nuts, but I compliment them when I see them do some little thing because life is too short. You never know when you're not going to wake up again.
That is so true. You have a great Christmas, Anita. I'm glad everything's working out for you. Had a friend of mine passed away a couple weeks ago. He was a developer here in the St. Louis area. Those of you in St. Louis, you might have heard of him. His name's Bill Bruce. And probably that one of the most generous, nicest people I have ever known. I mean, he's just one of those guys. Whenever he knew somebody was down on their fortunes, I was years and years ago. I mean, he'd come into a restaurant and he'd leave and, you know, you'd ask for your check and there was no check because he had already paid it. And he was one of a kind. And I learned a lot about that kind of thing from him. But he passed away, 73 years old. He seemed to be in pretty good health. And I have heard that he died in his car, may have had a brain stroke. And that's it. And, you know, I've always learned, much like Anita has, you got to live every day like it's your last. I mean, there comes a point where, you know, don't hoard all your money away for the rainy day because the rainy day may never come. You may die before that. Enjoy yourself. And, you know, what's a blessing is waking up in the morning because you got through the night and you're ready to take on the challenge. That, to me, is a miracle. Let's go next to Mike in Rockport, Texas. Hey, Mike, good morning and Merry Christmas to you.
Well, Merry Christmas and good morning and season's greetings to you. Sorry to hear about your loss, but I'm 74. Every time I hear somebody pass away, I always pay attention to see how old they were at the time.
I know. We look at this. It's a clock, isn't it?
Yeah, you say, well, okay, I got to be. I've lasted a year longer, but my angel story, my angel miracle story, took place 30 years ago, George. I was flying single-engine plane from Chicago to Dallas, and I made a few stops along the way, dropped things off, and picked up fuel. And by the time I got to the Blue Ridge VOR in northern Oklahoma, it was well past dark, and I'd been watching the weather, and I said, you know, this is starting to look pretty bad. So, you know, I kept checking on the landing light occasionally just to see. I'd see the lights disappearing. Well, I kicked on the landing light, and I was right in it, so I had the landing light on, the wing lights on, the strobe on, and it took just about every bit of concentration I could get that plane at 180 and get out of there. Couldn't have lasted more than a minute. It seemed like hours. But by the time I broke out, I was disoriented. And I was thinking, oh, man, let's see. There was a town, and I looked on it. Okay, that's got to be Norman, Oklahoma. And I started going through the depth charts trying to find the approach.
Oh, wow.
Just about that time, another light plane flew out about 2 miles ahead of me. And to this day, I can see it. It was a high-wing plane, little Cessna. And I mean a little one because I had to back off to keep them running over it.
Yeah.
But I heard the clicks on the intercom, and I saw the fuel lights come up. And I said, oh, hey, that's great. I'll just follow him in. So I fell in behind him, and we flew through the pattern. And he turned off base. He turned on the final, and I was busy getting my plane ready for landing. So I lost track of him. And I turned on the final, and he was nowhere to be seen. I thought, well, that's good. He made it down all right. And I landed. I just had no more touchdown, and the rain hit. So I taxied up to the airport office, and the attendant came out, helped me get the plane tied down. And I grabbed my jump bag and went in, and the guy says, I heard you coming. I said, yeah. I said, that's a pretty bad storm. He said, yeah, you were lucky to get out. That's a level 5 you penetrated. Oh, man.
Wow.
And I said, I'd like to, who was that pilot that came in ahead of me? I'd sure like to thank him. He was a lifesaver. He was there when I needed him. And the attendant looked at me strange, and he said, mister, yours was the only plane in the pattern. No. There was a little high wing, looked like a Cessna, that came in right before me. But I lost track of him. He says, no, seriously. He says, I've been here since 4 o'clock this afternoon. You're the only plane that has landed here all day. There was no plane ahead of you in the pattern. And I just, I let it go.
Angelic plane.
Yeah, so at that, I realized that angels probably are IFI certified.
They should. Now we know where they got their wings, don't we? That's a great story. We've got Mark now in San Diego. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the show.
Hi George. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Loud and clear.
Okay. My story comes based on a recent guest you had who talked about being positive and being a light in the world of the negative going on.
Okay.
I remember a guest you had within the last couple of weeks because I listen to you guys all the time, but I don't remember who the guest was. I'm a security guard in San Diego, and as I was doing my patrol around the property, I found a mid-20-year-old female sleeping in the back of her car. And when I approached the car, she had told me how her family had treated her negatively, her boyfriend. She was just having a miserable day, and she was just trying to sleep for a few hours before she went to work at 11 o'clock. And that's when I taught her about just being a positive light in the world. And I basically changed her life because she had never known about that. She, like, didn't know what kind of effect she could have on the world. And I basically told her everything that your previous guest had said on the radio. And I just wanted to share that because it happened on a Christmas. And I felt like I was kind of like an angel or, you know, kind of like an angel type. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, I don't know how to say it, but I just felt like I was used tonight.
As a vehicle?
Yes, yeah. Like almost like she was brought to me to kind of help her out, you know, with the positive that I know.
Well, and that could have happened like that, too.
And yeah, and I just thought it was really cool it happened on Christmas, and I wanted to share it on the show tonight.
I love it. Thank you, Mark. How are things in San Diego, by the way?
Oh, it's great. I mean, no traffic coming to work. I mean, it's pretty cold out here, and my hands are freezing holding the phone.
You're cold. It's like 10 degrees in St. Louis. I can't wait to get back to Los Angeles next week.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty chilly out here, and I heard on your commercial there's going to be 25-mile-an-hour winds coming up sometime.
Oh, boy, that's just what we need. Thanks, Mark, and enjoy your Christmas. Let's go to Nancy in Evansville, Indiana. Hello, Nancy.
Hello, and a Merry Christmas to you.
You too.
And I have an answer about aluminum Christmas trees.
Okay, are they still making them?
Yeah, you can get reproductions. I just put my authentic one, finally got it up. And with the color wheel.
Yeah.
And a friend with an antique store, the prices start at $100.
That's it? Well, yeah. I wonder what they were when I was a kid. What do you think?
Well, you know, allowing for inflation, they probably weren't cheap. Like 25 bucks would be worth at least 100 today. Yeah.
And to people who didn't know, as you just mentioned, it had a color gelled wheel that revolved, and the tree would be aluminum, of course, and silver looking, but it would have red light and blue light coming up on it and stuff like that. I would spend hours just looking at that thing going around and around.
Yeah, one of my favorite lines in Charlie Brown Christmas is Lucy telling Charlie, go out and you must get an aluminum Christmas tree and make it pink.
I love
but we unfortunately in our family had, didn't matter what the tree was, we had an unfortunate family tradition of the tree would usually fall over.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Never the same reason. Wasn't always the dog, wasn't always someone who'd had too much eggnog. Always something. So we now, since Mom put up a hook that would probably bear at least 100 pounds of weight, that most of the year it holds a plant, but once a year it holds the Christmas tree.
Well, that's true. And, you know, I found out that there are companies that are growing Christmas trees, because I used to think, oh my God, we're chopping down all these trees, but they would grow them for Christmas and they keep growing them. And it's a business. It's a pretty big business too. And, I had a tree fall down once too. I mean, it's horrible. And in those days, the bulbs were glass type bulbs. I mean, they broke and shattered just about everywhere. Anyway, we're going to continue another hour to go of Miracle Open Lines for you here on Coast to Coast AM. And next hour, Lionel Fanthrope will join us at the end of the show, giving you, of course, his rendition of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.